Praise the Savior, King. Number three. If you can stand while we sing, let's do that.
Referring to when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, it will be just the way it needs to be. Looking forward to that. Jason, do you have a song for us tonight? Okay.
That are man-made and will someday pass away.
your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Just wait till you see my brand new home. As you know, my wife and I are trying to search for a house. And we have a certain amount of money we know that we can spend. And it doesn't buy a whole lot. And we were driving by another mansion type house. And I said, you know what, honey, I don't need a house like that. All I need is a place to sleep and a roof over the head and nothing fancy. But I've got a beautiful home up there in heaven awaiting me. And all of you are too. Now, I don't know what we're all going to do with a house for each and every one of us, but that's what the Lord said. He's going to build a mansion for us, a beautiful place up there in heaven, and he's preparing it for us right now. So I don't understand it. I don't know what it's going to look like, how big it's going to be or anything like that. Just what street I'll be on as opposed to where your mansion will be, how we'll get around, things like that. It doesn't really matter too much. I know it'll be wonderful. It's just going to be wonderful because the Lord does everything in a wonderful way. All right, Hebrews chapter 13. I just want to back up just a little bit here to verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Speaking of how he was crucified outside the city of Jerusalem on the hill of Golgotha out there. And it says in verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. You know what, folks? We're called to separate from a lot of things. And it's a good thing for us to do that. And we ought to be separate from a lot of things that are going on in this world. From evil, from wicked practices, from sin and ungodliness. We should separate from that. We even have to separate from people sometimes when they're doing things that is not pleasing unto the Lord. And we're told in the Bible not to have fellowship with adulterers and fornicators, idolaters. And we're also told to separate from those who teach false doctrine and so forth. But you know what? I don't think that we really should be focusing so much on what or who we're separating from as much as who we're separating unto. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, if you're really more desirous to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will automatically have to separate from things in this world. And so I don't know that we really should brag so much about, you know, we're a separated church. We don't go along with the ecumenical movement. We separate from denominational headquarters. We're an independent church. We separate from those who use corrupt versions of the Bible. And those are all the right things to be separate from. But you know why I separate from all those things? Because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how wonderful he is, and how perfect he is, and how wonderful Savior he is, and how without sin he is. And I just cannot participate with these things because I want to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I can't really be with him when I'm with these other things. And so I have to separate from them, but it's not so much important as to, well, what's the list of things that you separate from, Pastor? No, it's I'm separated unto a person. And that's what's more important than anything. I'm separated unto Jesus Christ and to his holiness, his grace, his mercy, the faith of Jesus Christ, the doctrines of Christ. I'm separated unto him. It's good to be able to say what you're separated from, but it's also even better to say, I'm separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it says there, verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And in so doing, you do have to turn your back on this world and a lot of things of this world, as I mentioned last time when we were doing that verse. You know, organized religion wants nothing of an out-and-out Christian. And an out-and-out Christian is someone who has separated himself from this world and unto Jesus Christ. And let's follow him. And let's make sure that he is the focus even of our separation. Verse 14, For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Yes, that's kind of what Jason's song was about. I got a brand new home, all right? I got a home that's got a foundation whose builder and maker is God. And that's going to be a continuing city up there in heaven. The cities on this earth aren't going to continue. So why should we be all concerned about all the things on this earth? They're not going to continue. They're going to come to an end. But we have a continuing city in heaven. All of us have been promised that. Verse 15 continues on. This is where we left off last time in verse 15 and 16. Let us exercise the privileges of the New Testament. And here's what it says, verse 15. By him, therefore, and that's by the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, the whole book of Hebrews very often brings into view Old Testament sacrifices. And it keeps telling us that Jesus Christ is better than those Old Testament sacrifices. Now that we know that Jesus Christ is a better sacrifice, he is also the priest that sacrifices. He's also the altar upon which the sacrifice is put. He's the mercy seat, and it's his blood that is shed, not the blood of bulls and goats. After all that is understood by us, you and I are called upon as followers of Christ to make sacrifices too and offer them unto God. Now, we don't do it with the blood of bulls and goats, but here it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And we did that here tonight as we sang songs that talk about the great things that God has done. And we should be praising him with our lips. We should be talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, singing about him, praising him. And there's various ways that the believer makes these kinds of sacrifices. And by the way, if you are to be offering sacrifices, that makes you a priest, okay? And we call it the priesthood of the believer. You don't do this sacrificing unto God through your pastor or through a man who calls himself a priest or anything. You do it yourself. You bring the sacrifice unto the Lord. And what is the sacrifice? Well, first of all, God wants your very person. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. God wants you to offer yourself. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all the mercies that God has shown to us, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We can offer a sacrifice of our own bodies unto the Lord. Lord, here's my body. Take it and use it for your own honor and glory. Another thing, someone has said, not only our person, and going along with the letter P, our purse. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Take a look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Here these people, out of great poverty, took an offering, gathered an offering together, and gave the proceeds to the Apostle Paul to take down to give to the saints in Judea who were being persecuted terribly. And so they gave a sacrifice of themselves, of their money, and Paul says they did it liberally. And amen for that. You can offer a sacrifice unto God of your wealth and your money that you have. Another thing, not only offer yourself, offer your purse, but offer your praise. God wants us to tell our thanks with our lips by singing, by giving testimony, and sharing the good news with people. We're praising God with a sacrifice from our lips, speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the singing time here at Ray Street Baptist Church, and I hope that you do too. If you don't, you are missing out on a great part of our service here at Ray Street Baptist Church. Sing. I can't really sing too good. That doesn't matter. No one's asking you to sing real great. Just sing and give praise and honor and glory to the Lord with your lips. Use your lips. It's amazing how we'll use our lips in a lot of other ways. Let's use our lips in a way that praises and honors and glorifies the Lord for all the things he's done for us. And that's a sacrifice you can make unto the Lord. Then back in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 gives us another way that we can make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And it starts with a P here. And that is performance. All right. Verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Performance, or doing good deeds and helping your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Doing good. And the word communicate goes back to that idea of giving of our wealth for the furtherance of the gospel and for the furtherance of the ministry. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So your person, your purse, praise, and performance. Let's give these things as sacrifices unto the Lord. And this is attached at the very end of the book of Hebrews. In other words, you're to take in mind all that we've learned in the book of Hebrews about how Jesus is so much better than the Old Testament, and cause you to say, then you know what? I want to sacrifice everything I have unto God for the great Savior and the great salvation he has given to me. And I hope you'll do that. Give your person, give your purse, give your praise, and give your performance. Do good. These are things and sacrifices that God is well pleased with. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Here's the second charge to you and me, to regard the leaders in the church. Now, I hit this verse this morning, so I'm not going to expand on it a whole lot. If you were here this morning, you heard me talk about the responsibility of the pastor and so forth. But if you look back over to verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. And then down to verse 24, when we get there, it's going to say, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. So you have a responsibility, both of us, all you and I have a responsibility to respect and submit and obey and salute those that are in authority over us. You say, well, Pastor, who's your authority? Well, You know, there are other men in my life who I consider to be like my mentors, who have taught me, and I have to respect them. You should be respecting your pastor and those who teach you and those who come in here and we have them preach to you. You should respect them and submit to them and obey them. Salute them. Say hi to them and be good to them. This is what is well-pleasing unto the Lord as well. And you do want your preacher to enjoy the ministry, I hope. All right? So remember them. And I believe when it mentions remember them, I believe that has reference to praying for them. Take them to the Lord in prayer. If you're upset with the way the preacher's preaching, when did you pray for him last to preach real good? Okay? You say, well, I don't know. He's not so good these days. How about praying for him? Pray that God would help him to preach even better than he's ever preached before. Pray that God would help him to understand the scriptures and then be able to explain them to us. So remember your pastor. Obey him and submit yourself and salute him according to verse 24. Then verse 18, pray for us. Isn't that an interesting thing? That the writer of Hebrews, I believe it's Paul, the Apostle Paul, that he actually has to ask, pray for us. We really should be praying for one another. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. How important prayer is. Now, the writer of this book here believes in prayer. I want to just challenge you and myself. Do we really believe in prayer? When was the last time we had a good season of prayer? I mean, yourself individually, between you and God. When was the last time you really, really talked to the Lord in prayer? We really need to believe that God wants to hear us, wants us to talk to him in prayer. Someone said to me this morning, how does God talk to us? Well, he talks to us through his word. He can talk to us through the Spirit of God who lives and dwells within us and lead us and guide us. He can talk to us through other believers who will fellowship together with you and talk to you about the things of the Lord. He will talk to you through the preacher. There's a lot of ways he talks to us. But you know, how do you talk to God? How do you talk to God? You talk to him in prayer. And prayer is not always something that just demands that your head be bowed and your eyes closed. I believe you can talk to the Lord with your eyes wide open at times. I think it's good, just out of respect for God, to have a time of prayer and close your eyes, shut the world out, and just bow before him and talk to him. But can you talk to the Lord driving down the road in your car? You know, things are on your mind as you're driving along and something that you need to talk to the Lord about, go ahead and do it right then and there. Talk to him. Talk to him all day long if you can. Be in prayer. Talk to the Lord. We have that prayer bulletin that Brother Ralph puts out each month. And just go ahead and have a season of prayer right through that prayer bulletin. And talk to the Lord about all the things that are around there. There's a lot of things to pray for. The writer of this book, after having given us all this information about how great our Savior is, as opposed to the Old Testament, he ends it with, pray. Pray. Talk to God. And I challenge you to do it. Not only I've challenged you before about reading God's word, now I want to challenge you also about praying, talking to the Lord. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, We have not because we, what? We ask not. Sometimes we walk around like poor beggars, you know, spiritually speaking. And we can complain and moan and groan about our lot in life and everything else. When was the last time you talked to the Lord about it? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray and talk to the Lord. And I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll take my challenge here tonight and say, Pastor Freeman really wants us to pray. And I do. I want you to pray. And you know what? I want you to pray for me. Just as the writer here said, pray for us. I'd like you to pray for me. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Yeah, you know, if someone is living like that, that's someone you can pray for. That's someone who you can really take to the Lord and pray on their behalf. And then he says, I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, he gives a benediction here, some good words to end the book with in verse 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, verse 20, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That verse 20 talks about the God of peace, how he brought again Jesus from the dead. That great shepherd of the sheep. You know why he's a great shepherd? Because he gives his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. And no greater act of love could be shown than that he gave his life that I might live. Now notice how it was done. It says in the last part of verse 20, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood. I think it's interesting that Hebrews ends with an emphasis upon what God did for us through Jesus Christ is all based upon the blood. The blood. And it's the blood of the everlasting covenant. Folks, long before God even created the world, it was determined that Jesus Christ would come and shed his life's blood for you and for me. Now, before he became a man, he couldn't shed his blood. He had to be incarnated. He had to come and take upon himself the form of a man. And he did that. He was born of the Virgin and there in Bethlehem and came into this world. He showed us who he was by the miracles that he performed. And then he went to the cross. And there, and only there in that way, could he do what the Father wanted him to perform for us. And that is through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You know, the book of Hebrews talks about the blood of the bulls and goats, and how that they had to be shed every year, over and over and over again. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, one time, on the cross, forever brings peace between the sinner and God who believes in him through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Don't ever get tired of it, of hearing of the necessity of the blood. In fact, rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. You say, it's such a negative thing. It's such a hard thing. Someone had to shed their blood for me. Yes. And that someone is not just another human being. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life blood for you and me, that we might have peace with God. And then, as a result of what he did, he, in verse 21, can make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. You know, getting saved is only one part of this whole matter of salvation. Now it's living for him after having been saved. I've been brought into new life in Christ, and I have inside of me dwelling the Holy Spirit of God. And he wants me to live in a way that pleases the Father up in heaven. And just as Jesus did all things well and pleased the Father in everything he did, so should we walk in the footsteps of Jesus and please him in everything. And this is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And who should get the glory for the things that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ or for God? It should be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He should get the glory. Not ourselves. I hope you don't do things in order for God in order to be seen of men. I hope you don't do them just to, in order to get the approval back for the good things you've done. I hope you do them for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always think of it that way and do things in that manner. The end of the book says, "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words." Now, the book of Hebrews is not one of the shortest books. And yet the writer here says, "I've written unto you in few words." John in the Gospel of John says, you know what? If we wrote everything down that there was to write about the Lord Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it all. And you know something? That's just how it is with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of you have been here at Race Street Baptist Church for many years, and you've heard me preach from the book of Hebrews before. This is probably the third or fourth time that I've preached through the book of Hebrews. And you know what, folks? Every time it gets better and better. I am not to the point where I say I've exhausted everything in the book of Hebrews. Oh no. There is so much more to be learned about my Savior Jesus Christ that it's going to take eternity. And I can't figure that out. That doesn't make any sense to me, eternity. But I know what eternity is. It's forever and ever. And what am I going to be doing? I'm going to be learning more about Jesus for all eternity. You see, he's everlasting. He's eternal. So I'm going to be learning about him forever and ever. I'll never, and you will never, get to the place where you've learned it all. Because if you did, you would be God. And you and I are not God. God is God. And he's going to enjoy telling us all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, "Suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words." Allow the word of exhortation to do its work in your heart and life. And then verse 23, "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly, I will see you." And that kind of goes up there to verse 19 where he says, "that I may be restored to you sooner." Paul wanted to see these people who he was writing this letter of Hebrews to. And he wants them to know that brother Timothy is set at liberty. He must have been in prison for the cause of Christ. But he was set at liberty. And he says, so we're all going to come and see you. And that's a good thing. That is also another proof to me that Paul is the writer of this book. Because he and Timothy were very close. And his talking about Timothy here kind of tells me the writer of this book is none other than the Apostle Paul. Now, I'm not going to make a big deal out of that, but I believe that. I know it doesn't say anywhere who wrote this, except if you will go back to the very first chapter of Hebrews and see the title in your King James Bible. Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing. It says, "The Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Hebrews." And I think it's interesting sometimes, you know, I get some of these Ruckmanites who believe that God waited till 1611 to preserve his word. I don't believe that. I believe the Word of God's been preserved from the very first time it was spoken and wrote down, and He has preserved it through the copies, and we have a translation from the preserved copies of the text, the Greek text. Interesting, some of these who are Ruckmanites and want to say that God caused the King James translators to preserve the Word of God themselves and even correct the Greek, they really have some wild ideas. I've met some of them who do not believe that Hebrews was written by Paul. And I always like to say to them, well, look in your Bible. Look in your King James Bible and look at the title given for Hebrews. And all of a sudden, they're no longer a Ruckmanite, you know. Now, I know that the titles may not be that which is found in the manuscripts. But interestingly enough, the King James translators put that in there. And so why don't they accept that? I just throw that out for your amusement to think about. I believe Hebrews was written by the Apostle Paul. Then verse 24 and 25 to end this book. Salute all them that have the rule over you. We talked about that. And all the saints, they of Italy salute you. So Paul wrote this from Italy. Very well could have been from Rome, possibly. But he includes more than just Rome. He includes all of Italy. They of Italy salute you. And I think it's very fitting, don't you, that the last phrase of the book says, grace be with you all. Amen. Grace be with you all. Undeserved favor from God be with you all. And if you read the book of Hebrews and you remember our study as we've been going through this for a couple years now, verse by verse through the book of Hebrews, grace is the overwhelming theme that you see in the book of Hebrews. God in grace gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, who is better than the Old Testament, better than the angels, better than Moses, better than Aaron, better than the priesthood, better than the tabernacle, better than the mercy seat, better than the Ark of the Covenant, better than the table of showbread, better than the candlestick, better than the altar of incense, better than the laver, better than the brazen altar, better than the sacrifices the people would bring to be slain and have the bloodshed, better than the blood of animals. Jesus is better than all these things. And this is all provided by the grace of God. And he ends it with, grace be with you all. Amen. And that's how we'll end our study of the book of Hebrews as well. How about, Jason, would you come? We're going to sing a song in closing here. 821 in your hymn book. It's all the way in the back. 821, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. Number 821 in your hymn book. And I tell you what, if you're here tonight and not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Why not step out from where you're at? Meet me down the front. We'll have someone help you trust Christ as your Savior. If you're listening on the internet and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. There is no other sacrifice. There is no better place to go than to the cross of Calvary and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He shed His blood for you. Why not let Him save you? And then, Christian, how about you and I sacrifice ourselves unto the Lord and give ourselves unto Him, give our purse unto Him, give our praise of our lips like we're going to do right now, praise the Lord in our song, and then let's perform and do good works that please Him and are well-pleasing in His sight. That's the sacrifice we ought to give. 821, let's stand as we sing. If you need to make a decision, you come. Number 821.
Marvelous grace of our Lord. out of track. Here's a good one for this time of the year. You know, it's Christmas and everything. This one's entitled The Greatest Story Ever Told. And why not take a couple of these and just ask the Lord to help you give one out or put it in a strategic place where people can see it, maybe pick it up. I challenge you all, pick one of these up, or two, all right? And just ask the Lord to help you give out one of these gospel tracts this week. There's another one here, This Is Your Life. Maybe you want to do that one. Read it before you give it out, by the way, okay? So read the track before you give it out. But I challenge you, take one out, take one with you tonight. We've got enough back there for you. And see what you can do, putting it in a strategic place or giving it to somebody and say, look, you know, here's the greatest story ever told. And maybe you're talking about Christmas or whatever. You can say, you know, this tells you all about it. This tells you what it's all about. All right, let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Our Father, you are so good to us. You're so gracious to us. And you have done something that is marvelous and wonderful, saving our hell-deserving soul, washing our sins away in the blood of the everlasting covenant, and causing us to be at peace with you, and also giving us a continuing city up there in heaven, and a mansion for us to dwell in. It's just a wonderful thing that you have done. Help us now as we leave here and go out into this world that we would take the testimony of Jesus Christ with us and witness for the Lord of the great things he has done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.